controls the spice controls the universe.
Welcome to the Wobbester Podcast, episode 114.
Hello, listeners. We are currently driving on the way to Saffron Walden.
Okay, in the car. Saturday morning, what's that, 8:30?
Yep.
Day after Brexit.
Day after Brexit.
That went well.
Yeah. I mean, did we leave?
Luckily, my daughter was back in the country by 8 p.m.
Oh, so, there you go. So it's fine.
And it was pretty much like the Millennium Bug, as predicted, where, like, literally nothing happened.
Yeah. I mean, it was, the whole deal over nothing happening. I mean, there was another vote, meaningful vote 3, that
it wasn't,
rejected.
It wasn't meaningful.
Wasn't it?
Oh, no.
It was half a meaningful vote?
Yeah, it was like a non-meaningful vote.
Oh, 2.5.
No, it wasn't a meaningful vote at all.
Oh, okay. Anyway, it got...
Just a vote.
It got smashed. Again. Not by a massive amount, but enough. You know, like, if you won, if it was the other way around, you'd say that was a confident victory.
So basically, I don't think we are going to leave now. I think it will be interesting to see. We'll see what happens on the 12th of April, which is the next cliff edge.
Deadline.
It's just like, everybody's permanently living on their fucking nerves now. They're all fucking... Everybody's just washed out.
Yeah. I mean, 3 years later, and you failed. I mean, it's essentially... Would you turn around and say to the public, saying, okay, so you voted for us to leave the European Union. We, the government, have failed to do that, so we can't do it because we failed to do it.
I'd just say give everybody a bottle of gin and say, crack on. Crack
I mean, like, because ultimately, I mean, yeah, that's a bad thing. That's a bad pitch to give to the general public and the 52% that voted for it. But ultimately, we tried to do this and we failed to do it.
Did they try?
Well,
did they really try?
Officially they did, yeah.
It's funny, I think that what sums it up the most is you got, like, a Remain Prime Minister pretending to want to leave in charge of a Leave party, and you've got a Leave leader of the opposition pretending to want to remain in charge of a Remain party.
Exactly.
And in fact, he should be in charge of the fucking Leave party.
Exactly.
Going balls deep wanting to leave, and she should be in charge of the Remain party.
And thus, they do both do a bad job. I mean, have you ever seen Highlander? Sean Connery, a Scotsman, is trying to play an Egyptian. And he doesn't even attempt an accent.
I didn't even know he was supposed to be Egyptian.
He's meant to be Egyptian. Ramirez is Egyptian. Originally.
Fuck, I thought he was just some Highlander.
No, he's not. Not at all. He's like, that's the main guy, he's Scottish.
Connor McLeod.
Sean Connery is going to be bloody Egyptian. Doesn't even bother with an accent.
He's lived so long he hasn't got all the accents.
Well, he has. I guess that's what he'd complain back. Basically, it's like, what the hell, man? I don't act. I ain't doing that.
Superb.
I was James Bond.
Superb. So wait, this try was time.
Yeah.
A funky try was this one.
Yeah. So I think it will be reflected in the numbers. I don't think this sold out.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it had, but then maybe people slip away.
I think it originally did sell out, and then there's a lot of no-shows, like, through life. Yeah, like, oh, I can't do that now because of family.
And when you start building the list, it's quite... I'm not going to say it's difficult, but it's challenging.
Do you want to just explain So
we'll talk a little bit about what it is. So you've got two 1,000-point lists that work independently.
Yep.
But form an army.
Yep. They can break individually, so you would win when you've broken both halves. They have to be allied on an allies matrix, which is, standard.
Yeah, so you've got your good guys, your good guys. You'd expect, like, elves, high elves, wood elves empire, and shit, empire, dwarves. And you've got your bad guys, all the fucking orcsies and undeadsies. And then you've got your guys in the middle who work with everybody.
Yeah.
Fucking slags.
Yeah, exactly.
Slags. So I don't think there's many in there.
No, there's not, because I mean, ogres and lizardmen, aren't they? Well, maybe they're good. They might be lizardmen.
Lizardmen are definitely in the middle.
Anyway, it's like,
ogres. There are maybe, dogs of war.
There aren't many neutral armies.
No, but I'm using a neutral army today. Can it work with anybody?
Yeah.
So basically, the biggest challenge is your leadership package.
Yes.
Yeah. Your leadership plus your core troops will eat up anything between 40% and 50% of your entire list.
Yeah.
And then you haven't got much to play with. So what I decided to do, and we'll talk about, we played a game on Wednesday, is I decided to take Ogres, who'll play with anybody, and try and cover the weaknesses of Ogres, which, as I perceive them, are the fact you can't support Ogres with anything other than Ogres, which costs a fucking fortune.
Yep.
So you have a lot of punch, but no support.
Yep.
And I'm going to support them with Vampire Counts, who've got shit cheap troops with no initiative. So now they can have a supporting initiative charge by being stuck behind an ogre.
So you make a brigade of an ogre with a skeleton behind it, and it makes it 140 points?
135.
And that's a pretty good little package.
I mean, it's obviously harder to command, because you get minus one to command when you're commanding something that's not yours, so whichever side of leadership's trying to command that is little two unit, it's going to neg one. Which is, but you've got two generals, and they're both leadership nine.
Yeah.
The other things ogres don't have access to are cheap cavalry. Mm-hmm. Well, cheap being not 220 points.
Yeah.
So we've got 3 units of Black Knights, and then we've also got the spell book from the Vampire Counts, which has Raise Dead and movement spell.
Yeah, it's a good combo.
So my list in total is, the ogre side is 4 bulls, 2 iron guts, that's it. A general.
Break 3.
A general, and we have a wizard, a butcher, on a rhinox with a dispel scroll. And that's it, that's the whole list. So we've got Terra Corsa, we've got 6 units. They're expensive. On the flip side, we've got the Vampire Counts, we've got 6 skellybobs. 2 of the fucking zomboids, which are, they're dog shit.
Well, you have to have them.
But I have to have them. The role was just to die.
You can put them with skeletons. Like, they
could that'd make it a tough fucking brigade, one.
I'm just saying, you can. Like,
they're the thing that I allow cannons to blast.
But like, for the way you're going to play, they can do the same.
Yeah. But get more hits. So just get in front of those cannons, boys, and get blown to pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got no arms and legs anyway. Half of you just coming out of the ground. Probably not. Probably not. So we've got 2 zomboids, 3 black knights. We got flyers. We've got unit flyers.
Yeah.
They're not good flyers, but they can still do a job.
They still do a job.
And then we've got 3 characters for this one. We got a vampire, who's a spellcaster. We got a hero in a black coach. Wanky model, but
I've never enjoyed the concept of what a black coach is, but never mind.
It scares the shit out of me, though. Can you imagine it?
It's a taxi.
The Chaos Warriors are scared of the taxi.
I think I would model a black coach to be something else, like a monster or something. I don't know. Like, it just lame to me. Yeah, I'd say that's my black coach. It's not a black coach, it's a monster thing.
And it's also 2 bases, isn't it, weirdly?
Yes, the model. But character models in GW were like whatever they wanted them to be.
So I just used the back bit, and it just floats around my magic.
Exactly.
My magic. And we have a sorcerer. There's a sword on this fella. Because why wouldn't you have a sword on it if you've got 10 points 3? And we have whatever the wizard's called, Necromancer. And he's got a ring of magic to abuse either Raise Dead, which is a cracking spell, or the movement spell.
Yep.
So, and that's my list. And that break is 6, which isn't a lot, but there's never going to be a lot.
I think that the way that you've approached this is far better than the way I've approached it, because you've gone for 2 things that complement each other well and to make a good, like you say, like makes a good whole. And it's something you can do because it's a unique style for the day. I, on the other hand, have not done that.
Mr. Fluff.
I've not done that. I'm not comboing the way I should. I think I'm going to get beaten 3 times.
Maybe you've got the power of the green.
Basically, I wanted to paint some goblins. I wanted to paint some polar fox goblins. And so I got some polar fox goblins. So my list is orcs and goblins and goblins.
Of course.
And it looks great. I'm pleased. I've got to say, polar fox, great models.
Oh, they are super.
And the website's a little confusing in the sense that when you click on like artillery, you then get drop down menus for which ones you want. But that, I think, as I said to Barry, that means there's less pages. So it's probably why that web page is that way.
much easier to maintain that.
Yeah, exactly. But all of it is quality. Like the Doom Divers come with a little Doom Diver you mount on a little flying stand, and it's just for fun, just for like.
It does nothing in the game.
Nothing in the game. Yeah. It looks cool, doesn't it?
It does look cool.
Yeah, like.
In fantasy, it did actually did, because you have to kind of guide it in.
Kinda, yeah. You know, like some really obscure, clunky rules. But I say. I've bought Polar Fox stuff before, obviously, but this is the first time I've like gone on quite a bit and gone to work on them. And I've really enjoyed painting them, so there you go.
And they got the squeaks?
Squeaks, yeah, squeaks look fantastic. So my list, basically, I've gone for an orc list of 5 orc boys, 2 boar riders, the goblins, the 2 goblins I have to have, and a character set up with a wyvern in there.
And you missed a black orc, I'm sure there's a black orc.
And a black orc, yeah. So basically, I'll lead with 2 units of boars like to attack, and I'll lead with black orc supported. And you know, it's not a big orc list, but the points don't allow it because you have to like a lot.
Your boar boys and your black orcs and your characters probably eat up 65% of the list.
Exactly. So that's the thing. That's my bullets that I'll fire at the enemy. And the goblins don't really contribute anything. So like,
well, they contribute the number.
Yeah, they got numbers.
The number, because you've got like an artillery brigade, yes, and you were on the offensive, attacking everything.
Yeah. They're one of the few 1,000-point like lists which allows you to build a decent artillery brigade by itself. And by artillery brigade, I mean that the artillery should be able to do 3 damage, like after wounds, after saves. You should be able to inflict 3 wounds, 4 wounds on the opponent. Because you can get Doom Divers, which are 2 stands, they fire 3 dice each. And you can take 2 units of skull throw, so spear chuckers, per 1,000 points. So there you go, my artillery brigade is spear throwers, Doom Divers, 6 stands of nice artillery. It's good. I mean, it's range 40, the spear chuckers, obviously, but it's cool. It's like, actually, that's pretty, yeah. I mean, but then the rest of the goblin list is just, hang on, I've got a unit of trolls in there, but it's mostly numbers, and like the goblins are just terrible. I'm not Jeff. I can't, like, I don't know how he does so well with goblins, because I'm not going to.
So, one of the interesting things is you've got a very, very aggressive army.
Yeah.
With lots of leadership, so you're moving everything forward,
Terrible leadership by a lot of commanders.
I mean, really terrible leadership.
3 characters and 4 characters, I've
like
got.
Really bad leadership, though. Because, I mean, I don't think your artillery shot once in the game.
No, I played it bad.
Because, A, you've got to move forward.
Should we speak about our game then?
Yeah, we can do a little bit. A, you've got to move forward, and B, you've got to leave them something to shoot that you're not already fighting.
And that
was tough for you because you want to fight.
Yeah, okay. Yes, problems, mistakes were made. But I'm glad we played a practice game because it showed me, okay, hang on, I need to, like...
We can't play defensive, really.
No, I'm not going to play defensively, but it's like, it shows me that what the best I can... Okay, so I lead with the orcs and the goblins back them up. I'm not mixing my brigades like Barry is, but because more penalties than the command would be terrible for me.
Yeah, I mean, your command is awful, isn't it? It's like, you couldn't believe he had like leadership 6. This hero's leadership 7.
Oh my god, yeah. I mean, a big thing with this event, because, you know, it's a one-off in terms of the way the rules set, it's like, you know, it's not, as I say, like, it'll be fun to win, but it's not like you can repeat this next time because it's unique for the day. I mean, Skaven don't ally with any... I mean, they can in the ally matrix, but to me, they wouldn't ally with anybody. You know, like, they're too untrustworthy, so that's a big reason I didn't take Skaven, and that's why I went with Orcs and Goblins and Goblins.
And Goblins.
So I fluffed...
We could have had 2,000 points Skaven lists.
And what... But what... Why?
That's what the cheese I'd pull out.
Yeah, no,
here's 1,000 points Skaven list with another 1,000 points.
Yeah, and then I'm forever like, who's on who's, which one
is
which?
Yeah, that would be tough.
I mean, like, yeah, no.
That's hard enough to see which goblins are on which list.
Exactly, and that's something I'm going to have to like be careful with, is remembering which set of greens with which is with which set of greens.
So we played a game on Wednesday. The set was interesting. Because obviously you've got to decide how you're going to deal with your armies. Like Paul said, they're mixing your brigades and taking the command penalty.
Yeah.
Or you're not mixing your brigades.
Which, yeah, I mean, you definitely should. I should. I'm not going to.
I'm not moving anything.
I don't get the benefit like you do from that. I haven't taken 2 lists and ironed out the weaknesses. I've just got something that's, you know, very close, similar to each other.
Yeah, mistakes were made even by me. I tried to have a whole brigade of ogres.
Yeah.
So I put my four balls together and Paul just messed it up with the old Geros, and then they did literally fuck all.
Yeah,
the first three turns, because you spend your whole time just getting them back together.
Yeah.
And then, Paul, you were really aggressive.
Oh, you got to be. Yeah,
like, really aggressive.
Part of me was also to get the game finished in the time Hannah was allowing me to have. You know, like, but yeah, no, it's the way you play. But
so not only did you commit your, I think it was the Blackhawks you led with, into my Iron Gods, who I forgot were Iron Gods and didn't get the 4-up save, which cost them because they got absolutely fucking battered.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I didn't remember to point it out to you either. So,
and you did put in your terrifying character, because you got Wyvern. And I decided not to put. I've got two terrifying characters, but I didn't put either of them in because I was so worried about how much damage output that was going into this unit of Iron Guts. Because this game is about aggression. It's better to charge than be charged.
Looking, analysing what was across the table from me with Barry's list, it was like the ogres are the weak. Well, like there's only three break. If I can catch, like that is, they're the easier one to break. You know, first off, if I can get it. You know, like I mean, so. You committed two units. You held four back, but it's like that is the vulnerability here. Like, it's a tiny breakpoint.
So you gave them a right shoeing, a real kicking. I think the first round you did seven wounds on them.
Something like that. Yeah.
And it was like, oh dear, that really does stink. Mm-hmm. And then the second round you took off another stand, and then you backed away. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because
the
way the wounds were was I could regenerate. I could take back. It just worked out better. Like analyze the situation. I was like, after two rounds, I dropped them down to one stand, but I was carrying wounds. I wanted to save them.
And your Wyvern was still in with the Blackhawk.
Yeah. Which actually this led to in this game.
So then I put in the other unit of Iron Guts and the one remaining stand of Iron Guts, and they. Because of the way the game works, you can then, with the support charge, take the skeletons behind them.
Yes,
so that's really good to be able to bring support with you.
Yeah.
Because you don't normally have support with ogres, and skeletons don't normally initiative charge. So kind of fitted around both of their weaknesses.
Yep.
So I was now putting four stand of Iron Guts in against your three stands of Black Orcs. You had your Wyvern, and I put a terrifying mountain. I think it was probably the Bull Rhinox Butcher. And then we fought two rounds and kicked the shit out of each other and did damage. And then I locked in the combat. And Paul was asking, can he get his character out of that combat?
Yeah.
In the old days, the answer would have been yes, because that combat would never have carried forward. It would have been finished one way or the other. I'd have either backed off, or you'd have been dead.
Yep.
Or I'd have been dead.
Yep.
Or you'd have backed off. Or one of us has been dead, or one of us would have backed off. But the fact you lock in the combat, I believe, means you can't come out.
It's something neither of us could. I couldn't think of a situation before. It's like, and I was like, maybe. I mean, like, so I was happy to play it that way. It sounds right. I mean, something you might want to check before you start is can undead troops initiative support?
That's in the rule.
Yeah, but you want to check. You should check that. Can undead do that? Ghouls, yes, because they're alive. But can dead stuff do it?
Yeah, I think that's been said.
Well, let's say like I would check it. Double check it, Barry.
Well, that'd be fucking horseshit. What the fuck are they here for? Come on, guys, we're going in. What are you doing?
You're dead.
Come on!
Well, you better check it.
Oh, bollocks, we're going on our own. I haven't got my rule book with me. Bollocks.
I brought rule books.
Did you? I'll have a look in there. Where would it be? In what section? Initiative charge.
Look in the optional rule of a supporting initiative support.
Yeah, supporting initiative support.
Yeah.
Right, so we did talk about the Week in Wargaming. That was the first section. So we're going to have to. I'll see if I can jib it. So we'll do that section, which is normally section 2's one.
Yeah.
And this is kind of part of it.
So we can't talk about it.
But there's not much left to say. No?
Well, I mean, essentially, what my orcs then got broken first, and I left my goblins with no punch left, and I was like, this is awful. I'm terrible with goblins. Like, they're a hard army, to win with.
So the Boar Boys got killed by the three units of Black Knights?
I'd sent them in. They got to attack first, but the Black Knights enveloped them.
We had a raise there, that makes a big difference. We used the flyers to catch a unit of Wolf Riders by charging them in the front, flyers in the back. And basically, once the orcs broke, and this is going to be a common thing today, I think, unless you can break back really quickly, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Because it's like now you're playing 2,000 against 1,000.
Well, what's left of the armies, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, unless you can break back, there's just too much on the table.
Exactly. Yeah, like, and but that's cool, because, I mean, it'll, the games should be quicker by that means.
And it's not like you can play clever and try and hold back enough break not to break, because then you've got nothing to fight with.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's aggression.
So I've only got 6 ogres, so I have to at least commit. What am I committing if I only commit 2 ogres? I'm not fighting them.
I mean, exactly. If you only commit 2 units out of 6, it's barely committing at all, isn't it, really? It's like, oh my god. Like, what are you here to do? Not fight?
I don't know. What am I doing? Yeah. Just wandering around, hoping.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting how it pans out. Well, we're nearly here, aren't we? So you better tell us what's been going on in Paul's world.
Quite a lot of painting. What did I play down the club?
Have you told everybody about Arthur?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we said that last week. Yeah,
but you hadn't named him properly.
Oh, he's been named, so we went to the registry office, yeah. He's called Arthur. Yeah, like I've been...
Arthur Joffrey.
No, Arthur Frederick Winter, because that's my middle name. It's Frederick.
Frederick?
Yeah. Arthur. I mean, I'm not 100% sold on the Arthur name, but we've gone with it now. Are you going to call him Art?
Artie.
Or Pan, because he was born on Pancake Day.
Pan.
That might stick. Might call him Pan. You like pancake?
Artie!
So, yeah. But it's cool. I'm being a family man at the moment. Baby's happy. In the evenings, I'm strapping him onto me, slinging him onto me, and doing a lot of painting, which is cool, while Hannah sleeps, and he's then no trouble at all.
So on the back, on the front?
On the front, you shouldn't sling him on the back for 6 months.
All right.
Yeah, you could, but you shouldn't really. If somebody once said it was bad, so there you go, you can't do it.
Because you kind of forget and you throw yourself back on a chair or something.
Well, just because any over-concerned mother would take any bad, it's like, once somebody said it once.
It must be true.
It must be true. Yeah,
well, you've still got a cat. Apparently cats sometimes suffocate kids.
Yeah.
Like sitting on their heads.
Yeah. It's worrying. I mean, what can you do? The cat we've got at the moment is taken to sleeping in, going into his cot upstairs, but his cot downstairs. The cat's in that. The cat's like, this is a good bed. It's like, it's not a fucking bed, is it? It's not for you, is it, cat? It's like, oh, this is very nice, very comfortable. Very, kids can get me.
Like a Moses basket.
Yeah. Cat goes in there. Great. I'll just fuck up this mattress, won't I, with my claws? Loving it.
All these lovely new beds. Beds everywhere.
It's everywhere, I love it. In fact, we can go that way, that's better. So... I'm doing a lot of painting. What did I play last week? I can't remember. Oh, no, it was you, wasn't it? I played you at Warmaster.
Before you played... Rid?
Rid at Game of Thrones. The game I'm painting to next is Adeptus Titanicus. Finally, I'm playing a game of that. And those models are lovely. Those Titan models. I found this new way to put... I've never done much transfers before.
Water transfers.
But I bought some decal stuff, which is Microsol and Microset, which is what they're called. And they make the transfer look painted on.
Right.
They make it look a lot better. And I was like, oh, this is good. It's something that you just don't use in Warmaster, like transfers, really.
Are you matte varnishing them to seal them?
Yeah, that's what the micro set does. You apply one to get it on and one to paint over the top of it when it's dry. And the effect looks fun. So anyway, so I'm doing these Adeptus Titanicus. I won't finish the Maniple because they're just gorgeous models. They take time to paint. And then the game after that I'm then painting to do is rings. Rings. I've got myself a cool-looking evil army and I was building them all last night. Black Numenoreans.
I mean, it is... very easy to build, isn't it? The ring stuff, because it's mostly one piece.
Yes.
Or the plastics are like 2 pieces. But they're very easy to build.
Yeah, it's not as easy as Game of Thrones, because that's no building.
That's no build.
Yeah.
No build's good. I haven't done that very much. I've been playing some Magic. Yeah. But it's the Mythic Invitational, if you play Magic Arena, there's a $1 million tournament running at the moment, which is quite good. Fun.
I did something last night where experienced hobbyist, so I needed a Black Numenorium holding a banner. So I did that last night. I converted one to hold a banner, an orc banner. Looks quite, it looks okay.
Is there a model for a Numenorean with a banner?
No, there isn't. Oh. But there is the Morgul Knights have a banner. I didn't realise that, but never mind. But like I've converted one to
hold a Morgul Knights
banner.
Are these on horse?
Well, they're a little vague, but they basically are the same. Yeah, it's the mounted versions. They're holding a banner. And they're nice plastic models. So actually, but never mind. I mean, I've converted one with an orc banner. And the I need to green stuff in it. I'll make one way a musician. So I need to green stuff a horn on.
What the fuck do musicians do?
Give you plus one command. Hold your break. Hold your army in place. Yeah, they're worth having, Barry. Like if you.
I've never even used a musician.
Yeah,
in
they're
Lord
worth
of
having.
The Rings.
They're worth having. And
you would just win. If you win, you don't have to worry about.
Well,
they, command.
Yeah. If you don't win, and then the other thing I need to I did was so I've got a I'm using a ring wraith on a Nazgul, and it's got a flying base. And flying bases they're never good, are they? Like they always break and like they're not robust.
Yeah.
But like so what I've done is I've converted this I've got this Nazgul to be gripping a statue in its talons, and then that statue will attach to the base.
Oh.
So yeah, and it'll hold it all in a lot harder, a lot firmer.
Make good time, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, why don't mess around?
Well, we're already here.
Yeah,
right, so we're gonna have to catch this 25 minutes. Oh right, okay. We'll do some more recording later.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Okay, so we're on our way back. What time's it, Paul?
It is. Hang on, what have I got?
5 past 9. Yeah. We've been out for curry, obviously. Curry was alright. A little bit cold. Service was a bit shabby.
Yeah, considering there's nobody in the restaurant.
There was fuck all anybody there. Well, so there's me, Paul, Gert, our international traveller.
Yeah.
And a guy called David.
David Simpson.
Who's a bit of a OG.
Yeah.
In the scene, apparently. Yeah, it was nice to meet him.
Yeah.
A fellow Labourite, socialist. That was nice. He's a bit more moderate than me. Me being some bullshit left-wing bastard.
Yeah.
And he's like more your walking the tightrope between
the southern version
of me. Yeah. So the first thing we're going to talk about is an email that's sent in the week.
Yeah.
It's always nice when we get listener emails. But we do listen to them and watch them, and I sent it on to Paul to read.
I read it, and I read it out to my wife, saying, "Oh, this is a nice thing."
You read it to your wife?
Yeah.
It's like a bedtime treat.
No, like
in your most dramatic voice.
It's just like a nice thing.
Right, so we're gonna. Do we want to read the whole thing or just?
Fuck it.
Hey, what's the worst that can happen? Hey guys, I searched up for a War Master podcast, as you would, if you liked idea of War Master. You'd search for a War Master podcast, and what would come up?
Yeah.
And after stumbling blindly into the game for some 10 mil historical searches, go algorithm, I found you! Us? Well
there
done. 115 episodes in, or whatever we are. I'm 4 beers in, so plus one at lunch, so it might get a bit fruity. Your new player series and YouTube videos have helped been inspiring. Right, so we haven't done many YouTube videos recently. It's really slack.
We want to do them more, but we want to do them better, don't we?
It's
really.
Hard.
It's hard.
The
post
production's hard. Anyway, prompted me to print out two token armies and give them a go on the table the other day. Token armies are a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Fucking do it. Just do it. What I like to do is just buy a pack of bases and write the fucking stuff on the bases. Don't even print shit out.
Yeah.
Just get a pen and write them on the bases.
Yeah.
Sharpie. We had a great time and I definitely want to continue. I wish I'd picked up minis many years ago when I first got into fantasy. Me too, fella.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my biggest regrets is I see stuff on the table and I go, geez, that stuff looks good. But to buy it now is just lunacy.
Yeah, well, and also I've been going through old White Dwarves and seeing the cost of like what GW was selling this stuff for originally, like £50 armies and stuff. It's like
£5 a unit.
£5 a unit.
Man, fuck.
I mean, obviously that was 2002, but still, it's like
I mean, even now, if you could get it for £10 a unit boxed, you'd go nuts, wouldn't you?
You would. You'd buy it.
You go nuts. I wish it'd be going on in advance. I want to gradually do a fine show and keep them coming. Well, we endeavour to do so, sir. We endeavour to keep them coming. Side topic. This is quite good. I'm not sure I agree, but it's good. Right, so I've been hearing a lot of talk about orcs' poor leadership. Well, that is fact. Orcsies are shit. And Paul will explain later on how shitty orcsies are. It seems odd to me that the mechanically an orc command phase works the same as the Empire command phase. And this is really interesting, because when I was going through the wilderness time of Kings of the North, trying to think of a new game, I had in my mind that the Greenskins would have to order to stop them fucking fighting.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a case of, like, I have to order you to get in. It'd be, I have to fucking order you not to get in.
Yeah.
And the more kind of, the less organised. So your Black Orcs would have a chance of being controlled.
Yeah.
The fucking Feral Orcs and stuff, you got literally no fucking chance of stopping these guys going in. So that's what he says, think of Paul's leadership, it's odd to me, right, okay. It feels like it represents a leader keeping the line and forcing enemies to move, sort of warriors to move forwards when they would rather do otherwise. Orcs, however, are brutish warmongers and would relish the thought of rushing headlong into a fight, showing them whoever is the boss, right. I think it would be interesting if the command checks were used to keep orcs from rushing forward instead of moving. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Yeah, you're exactly right. And if we were rebuilding the game from the ground up, you would do things like that, I believe.
I heard an interesting idea to the... So today we were playing with full revolution rules and the optional rules in there. So you're half order or half movement off failed first order. And it sprang to an interesting debate in my third game about what an alternative to that would be. And that would be... So instead of your initiative... So say your troops are alive, so yep. They have initiative.
Yep.
No, and we use initiative to charge or to evade. Well, a third option is you use the initiative on a unit to move a half pace forward. And that's what it does. You can't give it orders, it's used its initiative to do that instead. So like a steady advance, steady come on. And yeah, so as basically that as an alternative to that half pace on a failed order.
But surely that's exactly what a half pace on a failed order does.
But you could do this, you could do this across the army, and obviously if you use the initiative to go half pace, you can't order it. Like, they're not going to go any further.
So this is a situation where you have, like, three commanders and many more than three things to order.
Yeah.
So you say, I'll just take a half pace move here.
I'll just use my troops. I'll try to order these brigades because they can go a bit further, but the rest of the army will just keep lying and march 10 centimetres forward.
It's not a crazy idea.
No, it's like interesting.
I think it again kind of maybe works better on horde armies than non-horde armies.
Yeah, and because it does, in a sense, it's like, okay, so as a default, troops move towards the enemy. Right,
unless they escape, and then they're running away, looking for the cheese.
But like, but that is as a default, like the troops don't need elaborate like. Control just to move them, like just for them to steadily walk on the enemy.
Seems reasonable. And that the question I talked about is by Matthew Kozikowski. I hope I said that right. I give my best fucking shot. Kozikowski. Thanks for that, fella. Nice to have you on board. We'll do our best. This might not be one of the greatest episodes. We've got the road noise. I'm a bit drunk. Paul's a bit drivey. Are you keeping somewhere near the speed limit?
Oh, I am, yeah.
That's good, good. So, well, we better talk about the event today, then. So we haven't discussed anything. We talked about our list, didn't we, a little bit? You said what your list was?
I
said what my list was, for sure.
I think I did.
We'll assume you know that Paul was playing Orcs and Orcs and Goblins.
Yes.
No, Orcs and Goblins and Goblins.
Orcs and Goblins and Goblins, that's right.
Goblins. Okay. And game one was a rematch between me and Paul. We played on Wednesday, played again.
Yes, it was a random draw, and I got drawn against Barry.
Okay, and how did that game go, sir?
It was cool. I was quite, this would be all right, actually, because off our first game, I would have tried to play my army differently, because that was I needed a practice game to figure it out. And I'm up against you, Barry, and I was I found it very difficult to guard my artillery from your flyers. You know, like, because so Barry had taken a list where he's got a flyer, he's got a ring of magic, and he's got a movement spell. And there are ways to guard against it.
There are ways.
There are ways. But, you know, some of the ways are almost, are, the prevention is as bad as the cure, where, like, if I've packing my artillery around so much troops, they're not firing themselves.
Yeah. It's a much harder to protect a brigade of four than it is a brigade of three. Because if you've got a brigade of three artillery, you can put a guy on the back facing backwards.
Yeah.
So and then they're covering their arse.
So what Barry did was that he jumped his
bats.
Fell bats behind, you know, up into a charge, rear charge position, and then used the ring of magic to dance macabre with them into my brigade and take them off. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, but I was just like, when you were performing the move, I was sitting there thinking, how could I have stopped that? And there was ways I could think of, but I didn't do it. You know, you got me there. You got me that move there.
It's a bit of a sucker punch.
Yeah. But it's like, it's like that line in Game of Thrones where the Baratheon thing gets blown up. He's like, he's played his trick, he can only play it once. He can't do it again.
You definitely can only do it once. I've used up my ring of magic and I've used my unit of flyers.
Yeah.
That's definitely true. It's a one-off. So it needs to work when it happens.
Yeah. So Barry had taken my range of the game. So and Barry started to castle up in a corner of his.
I didn't really attempt to do anything other because I can't move.
Yeah,
I've got mixed brigades for a start.
And I started to march on his corner.
So you had phenomenal success with orders early in the game.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
like ridiculous amounts of success. The first two or three turns, I did like two orders, and you did 22 orders.
So
it was fucking nuts.
The dice were with me then.
Yeah. But then later in the game, when it starts getting messy, that's where the orcs is with the leadership.
Start messing up.
Yeah. But the leadership ain't general and the enemy's near and blah 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 blah, and suddenly they just can't do anything.
Basically I just until it was too late, I failed to ever get the final order off I needed. My cavalry repeatedly stopped. Well, sorry, my ball riders repeatedly stopped charging. I never got things. Right, and this is the order to finish to pot the black. And I couldn't do it.
Pot the black like that. Pot the black.
Yeah.
So and bizarrely, you committed in two separate engagements. You committed both your generals to combat.
Yeah, it's good.
It's the green screen, right? It's the green screen, mate. They're only fucking 80 points or 70 points, fuck them.
Yeah.
So you put them in, and they won the combat, generally. But then they can never survive the next turn, because, like, any player with any sense forgets about the rest of the game, and that unit's got to go. Whatever the fucking unit is that's got your general in it, it's got to go. So they just get enveloped. You don't hit them with one... You don't hit them in the front. You hit them in the front, both flanks, and from the rear. You just make sure there's no way out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. So, unfortunately, Paul lost both generals.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Which is it's a thing in itself. I mean, not many people have lost both generals in a game.
there's a way.
And I managed to win that one. So, what was your game two?
So, my game two was against... I'm trying to think now. Yes, it was against Jeff's Goblin and Araby.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
So, Jeff was playing Araby and Goblins.
And Goblins, because Araby went neutral, which I think is more down to the fact that there isn't a lot of fluff written about them.
But why are they neutral? Why are they not good? What do they do that's neutral?
I don't know. Like, that's why you can't argue for or against it, because there isn't much fluff about them.
Right, fair dinkum.
Yeah. During that game, I could see Jeff has learned, you know, is a War Master Ancients player, because he would form this lovely line of his troops, you know, so this basically an unbroken line of, you know, two deep of everything, basically, you know, like across the table, and it looked very, it was very pretty, and there's a lot of advantages to that, because it's mutually supporting. You know, it's hard to catch any flanks because this line is unbroken. And what was it? So there was a lot. Jeff seemed content to engage me just really for missile fire to begin with, because he had a Goblin artillery brigade which he split up, and and he'd taken some, you know, archers with the Araby and camel riders and bows and stuff like that. So he was content just to try and shoot me a lot. And it was causing a lot of confusion on my troops, but not a lot of casualties.
Yeah.
A lot of confusion, not a lot of casualties. And I got wholly played more like an orc player, and I'd just charge anything I could. Charge.
That's what I'm here to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm here to do. Jeff led in using my own tools against me, led in with some units of wolf chariots, and smashed me back, basically. Jeff ran out of time.
Which was bizarre seeing the end of this game.
Yeah.
Because Jeff had no time.
Yeah.
But you had no break left.
Yeah, I had no break, yeah. So
it was like, how do I win this game without giving up my break?
Yeah. And the combat's continued in my turn, and it did the damage that was done enough back to me to break me. But it's always a good game against Jeff, and it's like he played it well. Did I make any obvious? I think by this point I was seeing the limitations of my build and like the problems of it. But I can't say I made that was an obvious mistake I made. This time, because he had flying carpets and not combat flyers, they actually fluffed they moved to shoot at my artillery and fluffed it.
Right.
Like, I only did one hit out of six. So I was like, lucky me.
I think Jeff is one of the few times I've ever had a draw in this game. I think I played Lizardmen and he played Goblins, and he ran me out to a draw. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
They got to a point where he had so many artillery things, and the No Man's Land was so big.
Yeah.
Lizardmen have got fucking horrible leadership to get any. You can't get up more than 50 centimetres across the board.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we just ground it out to a draw. I think it was one of the weirdest games ever. So anyway, but Jeff's a fantastic player. Especially
with
green skin.
Well, as I say, it's almost humbling in the sense that I was really struggling with my goblins. Where's the punch of these guys? And Jeff just seems to control them effortlessly.
Yeah, well.
But it's practice.
It is practice.
Yeah.
I think the only time I've beaten him, I beat him with high elves, and high elves really fucking used to give goblins a complete shoo-in, because they had a rule where they feared elves.
Feared elves, yeah.
They feared them.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking hell, mate. I mean, goblins are shit.
Yeah.
Now you're giving them a rule that makes them think they don't even want to charge these elves.
It's because they smell funny.
They smell funny. They've got pointy ears.
Yeah.
The bastards.
Yeah.
And, so that's the only time I beat him, is elves. It's just goblins. So, round two, I was playing Stuart. Stuart's won tournaments before.
Yeah.
Stuart's won one of our tournaments.
Yeah, yeah.
A Bunker Master, whatever the fuck we call them.
Yeah.
And he was playing with. No, he wasn't playing Skaven, that was the game after. He was playing, Dwarves and Empire. The fucking.
Yeah,
the Raspberry Ripple, the one we decided was going to be here.
Yeah, and was like, that's the bad combo. As in, that's a good combo.
So he had the Artillery Brigade, he had a shit ton of Dwarves, he had a Rune Bastard.
Runesmith.
Yeah, he had four Knights. The Empire breaks six. Obviously, the Artillery Brigade. This was a fucking hard list to fight against.
Mm.
And I had. The whole game came down to four opportunities I had in that entire game to do anything of any merit. So I was obviously. I have to play a defensive game. I can't come out and spread out because I've got. I mean, especially my ogres, I've got fuck all.
Yeah.
And apart from the knights, there is nothing in the vampire army that's any punch at all. It just gets run down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, in this game, a unit of knights ate through a unit of zombies, plus then a unit of skeletons, and took zero wounds. Just rode them down. And even though that's two units of shit, I've only got six breaks on these fucking guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've just taken two out for zero damage.
Zero, nothing back.
So literally, the Black Knights are everything. So, two opportunities he gave me in the game to attack his Artillery Brigade from the rear by using the same trick against it I did against you.
Yeah, yeah.
So send the Felbats round the back, ring of magic, here we go. And that, he had a Runesmith, so I had to keep... My wizard would have died, because I had to put my wizard in position more than 50 away from his Runesmith, which means he's too far away from my lines to come back. But I didn't care, because this had to happen in order for me to have any chance in this game.
Yeah.
So my general had two opportunities rolling a 9 to move these fucking Felvats and failed them both. And it's like, so you've had two opportunities on 9 to do something of use. And then I had two opportunities between those two opportunities for my Black Knights to charge his knights.
Yeah.
Again, me one needing a 9 and 8 and one just needing a 9.
Yeah.
And I failed all of them. And then
it's a lot of tension rolling.
And then he got the drop with his units of knights on my units of knights. And all this game's all about aggression. If you attack, then you're getting one attack per stand bonus minimum.
Yeah, yeah.
Before anything else is even included. So it's always better to attack than be attacked.
Yeah, yeah,
always.
Yeah.
And I think the dice spiked his way or whatever. And in the first round of combat, he vaporized my Black Knights. And it's like, now I'm in real trouble. So I've now got my undead broke. And I'd literally done nothing. I think I'd done maybe 1.5 units of damage to his knights.
Yeah.
And the rest of his armor is intact.
Yeah.
And I go, like, this is impossible, mate. I've got 6 units of ogres that have got to somehow foot slog their way across the board. Because he doesn't need to do anything else to win now.
No. He's ahead.
By miles. So I have to find some way to foot slog across the board to take on this artillery brigade with no flyers and no cavalry. And the only infantry I've got are like 105 points and upwards.
Yeah. Is they're going to be catching cannonballs.
Catching cannonballs for fun.
Yeah.
It's like, no, good game. So that was over in like literally, oh, he fucking destroyed me, like 40 minutes.
Jesus.
Fuck all. Nothing. I did nothing.
Yeah.
I literally rolled 4 sets of dice in anger in the whole game. And then that was me. So I got 0 points. I got 5 points game 1, 0 points game 2. And you got 0 points game 1.
Yeah. 0 points game 2.
Game 3 for you, sir. What was that?
So I was against David Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
And he was using what was an Empire and Araby army. Now, he'd brought along basically an Empire list he'd broken into 2 parts.
So Empire and Empire.
Empire and Empire, but yeah.
Jim ruled it out.
Yeah, so he had to proxy one half of the Empire as Araby. And it worked okay. You know, like, I mean, there might have been a bit of confusion over, hang on, is that an Araby or an Empire unit? But it's fine.
By this point, you're not playing for anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm just playing for the enjoyment of it. What to tell about this one? So, I decided to. He went for a deep manoeuvre, a deep flank manoeuvre with his Araby's punch. They'd taken 4 units of knights, and these are vanilla knights, just like Empire knights.
Yeah.
I decided to just basically ignore it and be like, right, if I can, while he's off on, send his biggest attacking units over there, I'll ignore them and try and break his centre and his left, because he'd sent all his knights to the right. And that did start off quite well. Like, I got my orders off my boars, in they go, backed up by a wyvern, did a lot of damage, and I was like, this might work, but I couldn't push it far enough. Like, these knights didn't stay uncommitted, and they then started to get involved and started to eat basically my flank and then get behind me. So that ain't good. I was close, and again he ran out of time, but I didn't have the time left to break in myself in my clock. But really, he'd broken my goblins, and I only had the orcs left. When he ran out of time, he'd done it. He was winning the game. So, but it actually went as a draw because of the way the scoring system was done.
Okay.
Because the victory points were close enough to each other. He's a player from the original War Master scene. But it was a good game. And all 3 of mine were good games. Yeah, I just by the end of it, I was like, I wanted to change my list basically.
So I played Paul in game three. One thing I need to say is I built my army, or two armies, or combined army, based on an exploit of the rules.
Yeah.
That Jim ruled against before the first game.
Yeah.
Because I asked him about it. I should have asked him. So basically, what I was trying to do is use a supporting initiative charge of the, so the ogres charge, they're supported by skeletons. The skeletons aren't charging or using initiative because the wording's a bit fucking vague, and they're kind of they're assumed to be part of the unit that's charging, and yeah. They use the movement of the unit that's charging. They're not using their own initiative. And so therefore the ogres charging on initiative take skeletons with them, but Jim ruled that they can never move because it says they can never move apart from with an order.
Yeah, that's
right. I mean, you could read it either way. Rule Smiths would argue till the fucking cows come home.
Yep.
That's the way it was, so that's the way it is.
So my
exploit didn't work as intended. Yeah. So the third game I was playing Paul Hayes. He had Vampire Count Skaven. Interesting
combo.
How many rat swarms do you reckon he had?
Two.
Eight.
Eight rat swarms.
Eight fucking rat swarms. So guess what? I was licking my lips trying to get into. That's fucking rat swarms. So, first, I move forward, and then he moves forward.
How does he use that many rat swarms?
Supporting rat ogres, like in combat.
Right. So there are a lot of second rank troops.
Yeah, second rank troops.
Right. Okay. Okay.
I mean, once I killed the rat ogres, they weren't very good.
Yeah.
They got a fucking shoe in. But some of the highlights of this game, right? So he sends two units of what are they called, the dogs in the
what in which
in
army?
Vampire counts.
Direwolves.
Direwolves. So he sends two units of direwolves into the front of Iron Guts.
Yeah.
And then gets the rage of Chaos Eve.
And he's willing to roll well.
He rolled reasonably well, and he ate two stands of my Iron Guts, which was bad.
The dogs.
The fucking dogs.
Yeah.
Which is nothing compared to what's coming. So, I then managed to get into his dogs and kill all the dogs, which is Dags.
Dags.
Which is good. And then on the other side, my Black Knights take out the other two units of dogs. So I've got rid of four units of dogs. His break was something like nine on the Skaven, which is a fucking lot, a thousand points.
I think that's the biggest I've saw.
Nine, and he had seven on the vampire counts, which again is fucking pretty big.
It's pretty fucking big.
So I got rid of four of the vampire counts, seven. So now I'm in reasonable shape here, though. But he only then was exposing his Black Knights and his graveyard. None of the fucking soft shit. None of the zombies and skeletons there at the back.
Yeah.
So we have a bit of a raised dead battle on the right hand side. He raises the dead, I raise the dead. His raised dead. This is fucking. I can't. Sometimes this game astonishes me, right?
Yeah.
So his raised dead going to my raised dead.
Right, okay.
Fair dinkum.
Is it worth rolling the dice for either of you, but carry on?
Right, so he's got some rat ogres in the front, and he's got raised dead in the side.
Yeah.
And they kill my raised dead. And then he advances into the flank of a unit of bulls.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, these fucking wankers, what are they going to do? Like, four attacks into a flank of a unit of bulls.
Yeah.
Like, in column.
Yeah.
I'm doing, like, nine attacks back.
Yeah.
Right? He wins.
How? What?
Because dice.
It's dice.
So I think he did, like, four wounds. I've got, what the fuck is it? So he takes up a stand. And I do nine attacks back and do a single fucking wound.
And he's got no armor. No, he's got
armor. No, I do four wounds. Yeah. He saves. No, I do two wounds. He saves one. I lose by three. Right. So now.
So you had more dice and a better profile.
He had four dice.
Yeah.
And I had nine dice and I lose.
And you lose, yeah.
And lose a stand.
And he's on damage.
And this unit is three.
Yeah.
So then the advance turns into a second turn of combat because he's now pursuing. So now he's rolling 12 fucking dice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He takes out a whole fucking unit. A whole unit of bulls. And guess how many damage I do back? One fucking wound. Which he then just takes off.
Yeah.
And leaves them there now as the nearest thing I can get to.
Yeah.
And he goes, you've just taken out an entire unit of bulls. An entire unit of bulls with raised dead that didn't even take any damage.
Yeah, it's like
that is the most miserable experience you can have. I've got a break of three, and you've just taken one of them from raised dead.
Now, yeah.
That is fucking horrible. That is horrible. So anyway, this game, it was like, it was a really pillow-fisted game. One thing he did do, which I thought, again, was a really mad idea, he gave the banner of shielding to some black knights.
So make they had it three up safe. Yeah. Hey, why is that a mad idea?
Because it's a lot of points in a 1,000-point list.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But Jesus, I couldn't get them to lose that banner. No. And they really did some work.
Yeah.
And then we came to and fro, and then disaster. Paul ran out of time. And I wasn't that near breaking. He wasn't near that near breaking. He was out of time. I had about 17 minutes left.
Yeah.
I thought, the game doesn't mean anything. I don't want to end like with me just taking the next 15 minutes just cherry picking. And you have literally no choice what you do.
Yeah.
I can take unlimited turns to choose exactly what I'd want to try and delete until I break you.
Well,
70 minutes is a long time.
Plenty of time. Yeah, for you need for that.
So I just we just played out that round of combat and I offered a draw because I didn't really want. If it was like the final and I could have won, then maybe I'd have played it different. I know Paul, he's a nice guy. He's got 17 painted Warmaster armies, he told me.
Oh my god.
17?
17.
He's got something like 100,000 points or something. That is a fucking collection.
That's an army.
Like, oh, there's more than one army. 100,000 points.
So when it's 17 armies, like, is that are they different races?
Yeah, yeah, 17 different armies.
Oh my god.
Not like one army proxy and three armies.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I got one win, one draw, one absolute fucking smulching. Which was a bit, the smulching was a bit sad, but hey, you got to learn to roll with the bunches. It was an interesting event.
Yeah,
I'm glad I played it.
Yeah,
it was the list building was a challenge.
Yeah,
I spent a lot of time mulling over how I was going to try and exploit the rules and what.
Yeah,
and how I was going to build the list. I certainly don't feel any great impetus to play it again.
No.
Which is cool.
Which is cool, yeah.
So, I mean...
To be fair, Barry, that's probably the best result, isn't it? Because, you know, you wouldn't want to play a version of it and be like, oh, I wish that could be the norm.
Yeah, I think it was really cool that Jim's surprised us with an extra rule sheet on the day.
Oh, yeah, you should say that, yeah.
I haven't got it on me, but basically...
I can remember it.
Okay.
It was an additional bolt-on, which he put on, we announced us on the day, and that's in when you're playing a game, when your first army breaks... You then, like, you know, take off, you know, remove the casualties as normal, and then you roll for every unit of that army left on the table.
And see what they're going to do.
See what they do. On a one, they hang around, but they're at negative one and they can't use initiative. 2 to 5, they disappear like normal. And on a 6, they hang around and they must attack.
They can become frenzied.
Yeah, basically, they will go towards the nearest enemy and charge them if able.
Now, all characters that aren't in units just bug out.
Well, not even the one... I think even
No, but if you're in a unit and that unit doesn't bug out, then you stay.
Oh, OK.
Whether it's a 1 or a 6 or whatever, you'd have to roll. So, I mean, you are going to lose the vast majority of stuff, but it does make it so you don't lose everything, potentially.
Yeah, depending on the dice.
And it was just a bit of randomness. Mitigates it a bit.
Like, you know... I quite like that. It's like, oh, that's a cool little lad bolt on to this.
He's always good with dragging out a bit of stuff.
I think he got the idea from Chris. Oh,
okay.
I think so. But it was nice. It was like, that is a neat thing to add on to it.
Also, round two was paired using our international rankings.
Yeah.
The gym FIFA coefficients or whatever they were. But you know they only last for 4 years and then your results drop off.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, is that
that's why you're getting good now.
Is that what you said?
No, that's for sure. Okay. That's why all your really, really early results were you were wooden spooning and now dropping off and now you're top tier.
Well, this result today, the day ain't going to help my rankings.
So you got 1 point and you came ninth.
I got two losses and a draw. Yeah, I came second to last. I mean, it's like I did not exploit like the rule set. Like I didn't pick two armies that sorted the problems of them both out. They didn't address the issues. I took more of a flavour of, you know, like of one army essentially.
The strongest armies I saw were like two generals.
Yeah.
Two cheapish wizards.
Yeah.
and keep everything together with their old stuff, so you're not fucking about too much ordering. You got one shitty orderer, and you got one decent orderer, and like as many troops as you can wang in.
Yeah, exactly. And also to pick two factions that work together that tend to complement, like, what does one faction lack, the other one brings. That's the better. That's a better.
There are a lot of double ring of magic sneaking around.
Why not? Yeah.
Because I have ring of magic and a dispel scroll. Because I don't feel properly dressed without them.
Yeah.
But yeah, double ring of magic. That can be a bit cheese.
Because and ultimately, if it causes the enemy to lose two units in a 1,000-point list, that could be a big deal.
Can I say you always go the wrong way there?
Oh, of course. I'm driving defaultly. Back to mine.
To your house,
Okay,
well, we'll go through a little walk then.
Yeah.
Before we go, because we'll have to wrap this up soon, because Paul's nearly home. I was talking to someone after the games, and they were trying to cast Raise Dead four times into the same combat. Four times into one combat. Well, you're going to raise four fucking, a brigade of fucking stuff into a combat.
What? As in, well, they failed the dice every time?
They didn't even give a shit if they failed it every time. They were trying to do it four times. They didn't realise you could only do it once. So it's like raise dead. And they did it twice into the same combat. They tried to do it four times into the same combat. It was the Tomb King's Vampire Cat Army.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if somebody brought a brigade into a fucking combat?
That was a combo that someone brought along.
Yeah, they were trying to like do four lots of Raise Dead into a combat. It's like, oh my god.
Who raised these ones?
I think raise one in a combat's enough.
Yeah.
He's still lost. They came bottom.
Yeah.
So, what's the guy's name? I'm shit with names.
Yeah, we should know that.
I'm shit with names. So anyway, we'll try and do the top three. The top three were...
Jeff was winner.
With Araby Goblins. Goblins.
Proving that I'm terrible with goblins.
Well done, Jeff. Second was Stuart with his Empire Dwarf combo.
Which we really highlighted as being a very good list.
I think third was Steve with his... Did he have... Dwarf Bretonians.
Hammer and Anvil.
Yeah, very Hammer and Anvil.
Yeah.
So he had two characters, two generals, I'm saying.
Yeah.
That was ballsy. And then fourth, I can't remember, I was fifth. Oh, Gert was fourth. Well done, Gert. Nice to see you again, fella.
Great to see you.
And I was fifth with my shamble of shit.
Yeah.
Paul was ninth.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. I mean, the next event is War Master. Yeah, that's how you say it. And that's the new event of the year. That's
18th of May.
Ian and Steve are running that. And I'm going to take Skaven into that because I need to try and go undefeated in an event with Skaven.
Or win a game first.
Well, yeah, I got to win a game first. But it's a tall ask.
I'll tell you what, Paul. I mean, he struggled with Skaven. Fuck. In 1,000-point, you're not bringing the screaming bell. Paul Hayes. Without the screaming bell, Skaven are fucking awful. That covers over so many cracks in their list. They're awful.
Yes, they are. Well, no, I wouldn't say. I mean,
they're
awful,
are awful.
But it's like
they're awful.
As I said before, every time I play them. There's more questions I need to ask how do I play this army? It's not like practice makes you better with them. Practice might make you worse with them.
That's possible.
In a sense, which way? What am I going to do? You're not improving with them. But I will find it. I like them too much to not try.
So the number of times Paul Hayes, the guy I played in game two. Or game three, rather. He tried to order because he had them all as one big dinner plate.
Yeah.
He ordered them and moved them, and then he couldn't do the second order.
Yeah.
He just couldn't physically do the second order.
It was impossible.
Because the plate's too big.
Yeah.
And now it's not all under the 20 anymore.
Yeah.
So I think the bell and breaking them up a bit is the way to do it.
I'm gonna try. List I've drawn up that would be my next list. Probably uses quite a lot of gutter runners. and they seem to be, you know, the thing that's hard to plan against, it's hard to avoid.
One day I'm going to kill the bell.
Yeah,
I'm telling you now, one day. I didn't even lay a fucking fist on it yet, but one day I'm going to kill that bell.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm no doubt. But, you know, I won't risk it for nothing.
It might cost me the game, but I get the bell.
Yeah.
Right, so thanks to Jim and Alex. Although Alex wasn't there that much today. Jim did a sterling job as ever.
Alex wasn't available, and Jim did the work. Yeah.
It was fantastic. It was great to see everybody. It was a great event.
Yeah.
A novel event.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice to keep things moving, different.
Because you see, it's like, if you never try something different, exactly. If you never try a variation on a flavour, you never appreciate you appreciate what you have.
Yeah, and I think we've tried it at various different points, but it always comes back to how that sweet spot of 2,000 points.
Yeah.
It is. It's what the game's meant to be played
at. Exactly. I mean, I say, like, we were talking about this over dinner, it's like going over these old white dwarves looking for these articles, and it's like, even when Football Master was first presented to the world, that was its size. That was like, you play this game at 2,000 points. You know, like, it's, you know, and the way they sold it, the game, was like, here's your first 1,000 points towards your 2,000 point list. You know, that's how it's geared to be.
Yeah, the boxes, yeah.
And it's like, and it's cool. I mean, like, in a sense, you could have said, well, why didn't Priestley adjust the points so 1,000 points... Would have been 2,000 points worth of current troops, but I'm guessing, you know, if your points limitations are too narrow, then you can't get enough variation that you need in them. I mean, ultimately, the man knows what he's doing. Man has got a good pedigree for writing games.
Yeah, it's a good game, and I think the revolution irons out the things that need to iron out.
Yeah.
But the rule set, I'm not going to say he struggled today, but today was a real test because there were some shenanigans going on that weren't intended.
Yeah, exactly. Like combos, hang on a sec, like, and, you know, armies getting access to spells that they don't have, you know, like, or a lot of, you know, like, raising units with, well, in your case, like,
to use initiative support.
Yeah, you know, like, here's my ogres, and they're getting access to raise dead troops.
Yeah, you know, it's like, and they're getting to be supported by skeletons.
Supported by skeletons, so, like, that aren't, like, you know, that, so there's nothing in the ogre list that can do that for 30 points.
There's nothing you'd want to take for less than 90 points.
Yeah.
Anyway. So it was good, nice to play. Next one's in the 18th of May.
May, yeah.
Driving.
Yeah.
You're paying, good.
So no tournament next week, no tournament next month.
And you go back to work on Tuesday?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Yeah.
Could be a shocker.
Maybe I'll want to get back to work immediately after, like, my, you know, like, turn up with my tail between my legs tonight.
That's why I made you drive. Yeah. You're not fucking pinning this on me, fella.
No. Oh, dear.
Anyway, so we're back home now. That was the War Master Podcast episode 114.
Yes, it was.
Or 15. Yeah. 14, I think. With Paul and Barry.
Would you like to know more?